think I'm sorry, I know him. Morgan? You Morgan?
Hi.
I met you at Good Heavens a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How are you? I'm good.
I'm scouting for a shoot.
Oh,
okay. No worries.
I'm following on your Facebook.
Okay.
Cool. Kaori. Oh, yeah.
Good.
My name is Mel. I have a podcast and I'm just interviewing Kaori.
Great.
You want to get into this?
I'm going to be watching the rugby in Good Heavens.
No. I did stand-up comedy at Good Heavens.
Yeah, it's coming tonight.
I'm not sure. Yesterday and at the time I did some bits about Trump or politics things,
yes.
And you really liked it. So, but you didn't remember that. Forget it.
Oh, all right.
It'll be fine.
Tonight.
Yeah, we'll
no
see
worries.
You.
Well, thank you.
Bye.
Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides the sushi and sumo, anime and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on. People that are hungry for making it and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. Welcome back, listeners, and I am so fired up for this episode. But if this is your first time listening to my podcast, well, I guess better than late than never, because this one is something that I'm really, really excited to talk about, and it's something that I love, and we're going to dive deep into the world of comedy. More specifically, she is a Japanese bilingual comedian, and she goes by the name of Kilara Sen. And yeah, she has rose the ranks through the Japanese comic scene and has gone abroad to do her stand-up comic. And I was very fortunate to have some time to have a chat with her and just kind of dive deep to what she's all about. And so I think this is a great episode to see what it's like to try to become a stand-up comic, an English stand-up comic, and make it out there. So without further ado, this is Kilara Sen, and here we go.
Thank you for coming down, and
mm-hmm.
First, I guess, just introduce yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Kilara Sen. Mm. I'm Scottish.
What?
I'm joking.
I see you wearing the tartan.
Yes, I bought it in Edinburgh.
No.
Well, but seriously, I think my English is Scottish.
Okay.
Why because do you that? Because native English speakers don't understand it.
Okay. I'm kind of understanding you right now.
Oh, okay. Wow. You have a good ear.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know what's hard for me, though, is my whole time as an English teacher, I still have a hard time following some Singaporeans, people from Singapore.
Singlish?
Yeah. And yeah, I'll be the first to admit it's hard. I always ask to repeat whenever they talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I ask to repeat them, but yeah, you're fine though.
Oh, thank you so much.
But anyways, Kilara, let's go back. I want to talk about your background.
Yeah.
Because to me, you asked me before how I found you.
Yeah.
It was through the the hosting site that I have now with Anchor.
Anchor,
and,
yeah.
And I was just searching like just random podcasts with the keywords.
Uh-huh.
And oddly, you had a podcast.
Yes, Sweet Wasabi, which was recorded at Hard Rock Cafe in Roppongi every week.
Mm-hmm. So I saw that, and I'm like, what is this? And then, because I, you know, when you see like podcasts, you always see like study how best strategies for TOEIC. Like, HK Radio.
Yeah. It's true.
You don't really see like you know, comedian podcast
in Japanese, right?
And I'm like, who is this girl? And I was just checking. I saw you a little bit, and then they definitely led me to your YouTube channel. And then I'm like, okay, she's got it going on. And then I realized something. I'm a huge fan of Conan O'Brien.
Wow.
And when Conan came to Japan, I didn't know that you like basically stalked him.
Yes, I stalked him. Yeah. I was looking for his hair.
So you went all the way to
Shimane. Totori. Shimane people. It's the worst thing to say to Shimane people and the Totori people. I'm sorry about it. Yeah. I'm sorry. Shimane is my favorite part of Totori. No, don't take me wrong. Yeah, Shimane is amazing too, and Totori is also amazing. I'm so sorry.
How do we explain Shimane and Totori for the people living outside Japan?
It's so hard. Actually, Shimane and Totori are next to each other, and very, to be honest, they are kind of similar, like that the places and the locations are similar, so they are often confused with each other. But Shimane has a lot of sacred stories, I mean, ancient god stories, like Greek,
legends.
Okay. Yeah, there are so many myths in Shimane, and more spiritual place, and Totori is a little bit more like, tourist site, and they have the Totori Sakyu.
Right. And I remember like maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, like the first Starbucks opened, and all of these Totori people like flipped out. Like, this is awesome.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
We have the best Starbucks prefecture in the Japan.
Yes. And also Conan came to Totori Prefecture because the author of the Detective Conan, very famous Japanese comic, cartoon.
I went crazy when he like did that whole episode on Conan. And he's like, I'm the real Conan, and he actually came.
Yeah.
So when you saw that, you literally were thinking, I'm gonna go meet him.
Yeah, but at first, my friends posted some picture with Conan O'Brien by coincidence meeting in Harajuku.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I went to Harajuku and, once I came to Shibuya, I noticed other posts from Roppongi. Somebody met him in Roppongi. So, now he is in Roppongi. So I went to Roppongi because, you know, as long as I'm in Japan, there is less opportunities to get noticed by TV people in America or something like that. So I really wanted to hand my demo reel to the TV crews.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to promote myself, so I talked to him, and of course I was a big fan of Conan O'Brien too, so I really want to meet him. And but Roppongi, I walked all night actually, but I couldn't find him. And then it was crazy. And and then there is another option. Maybe it's gonna be the last chance to meet him, that is going to Totori. Stalking him. And then, I made it.
And so you were there when he was doing the announcement, like, he was going to be the mayor of
Konan City. And I also contacted the mayor and the city office, too.
Okay.
Because they didn't announce the date, exact date yet.
Yeah.
And I think that was also typhoon season, or...
It was in the summer.
It was in the summer?
Like late June? Was it the summer?
Yeah, the weather was a little...
I remember it was hot.
And also very rainy, I think.
It was definitely in the rainy season.
Yes.
But I think that year we had like a... Yeah, that rainy season that year was not so... It was kind of dry. It wasn't, I think. But anyways...
I think that was 1 year ago. Maybe around... Not before. I think before November.
Yeah, definitely last year.
Yeah.
Because all my friends, like especially my American friends, were like on social media, like, oh my God, Conan's in Japan.
Yeah.
I want to go see him.
Yeah. It was amazing guy. He was super nice guy, and he gave me a lot of, you know, motivating phrases motivating words. Yeah. That was amazing meeting him.
Wow, okay. So, for sure, Conan is definitely one of your influences for being a comedian.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm curious, you know, growing up, what age were you when you... Oh my God.
Sorry for cutting your... Yes, he gave him tons of Conan stickers.
And you're just putting on everything.
Yeah, everything. Everything. And all my nipples.
That's fine. I don't know. I think I want to go back to, like, what age did you start loving comedy? Like, what were your first inspirations?
Very, very young age. Yeah. And at that time, of course, I didn't speak English at all. I didn't speak Japanese neither. That was like what I could speak. Anyway, so when I was a child, there was a huge TV talent, comedian of Japanese, who are called the Tunnels.
Yes, I've heard of them.
I've been a big fan of Tunnels, and especially Noritake Kinashi.
Okay.
He was a hero for me. So. And at the time, I was also very, very tomboy. So, yeah, my hero was all male comedians, and especially Noritake Kinashi was still my god.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, since my childhood, I really wanted to become a comedian, but my parents are very strict and very education-minded.
Oh, right. Did you actually tell your parents, like, Mom, Dad, I really want to be a comedian, like that, like straight directly?
Yeah, but I just said that.
Okay. Like, no.
They didn't have any good reaction. Yeah, actually, okay. I'm the survivor of another typhoon.
Okay.
Yeah, Typhoon Yasuko. Yasuko is my mom's name.
Was she like just spinning around the house?
Yeah, like? Spinning around, and she's been staying there forever.
Wow, okay, so they were quite strict with education.
Yes, okay. Yes, so I really studied hard, and they didn't let me do anything else studying, to be honest. Okay. So I was studying, but you know, that is too much pressure, so I got a little melancholic late teenager, and then at early 20s, I studied abroad in America.
Where did you go?
Virginia.
Oh, wow.
HBCU.
Why HBCU? I've never.
You don't know what it is? Hey, America.
How did you? Shout out to HBCU.
It's not HSBC, okay? It's not the bank's name.
So, how did you get that connection? Why that school?
Okay, so since around early teenage, I was very into black music, hip hop, and R&B, and those things, and. And then I moved to black studies.
Okay, like African-American.
African-American and also Africans and the black diaspora.
Wow, okay.
And then HBCU is a historically black colleges and universities, originally established for African-American before the civil rights movement.
Right.
So at the time I was interested in two things, black studies and performing. So, I thought for a while, and then, okay, I gotta take theater arts class at HBCU, and then that was amazing experience, and I studied abroad at Hampton University in Virginia.
Whoa, okay.
And then I came back to a Japanese college and graduated from Japanese college.
How long were you there in the States?
Just 1 year. Yeah.
I'm sure you were trying to soak up all the experiences. You're trying to get as much, you know.
Yes.
My question, when you entered the university here, because it's very different from Japan. What was your first day in university like?
But I need to be careful not to sound racist or something. But it's maybe same as international people coming to Japan for the first time.
Probably.
Yeah, first of all, I was so surprised to see, okay, maybe you'll be surprised to see there are many, many Japanese people in Japan. Yeah, that is the same thing,
yeah,
which I experienced, you know. Once I entered the college, I was so surprised to see there are many, many African American people.
Right. It could be a shock.
Yeah. Yes, and and also I didn't understand what they're talking sure. at all. Their Ebonics or, you know, Southern accents are very difficult for me. And
you just went full on right straight to Virginia. That's
yes. And to be honest, my first college, yeah. To be honest, I transferred to Hampton University from another HBCU. And that was much smaller.
Okay.
And the first day, yeah. they had some orientation, but every process was delayed, like 3-4 hours. I can't believe it. And also, I don't understand what's happening. I'm totally, you know, outsider, so I'm very struggling, like, okay, what time is it,
right.
my order, or when is it happening?
Right.
It was very, very shocking and struggling.
There weren't any like peers or counselors to help you, you know, go through like orientation or nothing like that? Was there people helping you how to go to the classes?
Okay, I didn't talk about this so much, but to be honest, yeah. why I transferred to Hampton University, the first reason was they didn't have the major I should have applied to.
Okay.
I was supposed to apply. I was supposed to be in theater arts department, yeah. but once I went there, yeah. they said, no, the department is closed 4 years ago. What? Because my visa has like an I-20.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that document says your department is, and your major is going to be theater arts.
It has to be.
Yeah, yeah it has to be. Yeah. But they said, no, it's closed already. What?
That's messed up. But then I'm not surprised.
Yeah, now I don't surprise. No, I won't be surprised.
Wow. So, but you continued with doing performance arts.
Yeah, and instead they also had public speaking or speech and drama. Okay. It's kind of alternative.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And but I really want to study more, and I really wanted to be more inspired by other people. Right. That was huge. That was very, very small classes. So that's why I chose to transfer to bigger college or college like Howard University in Washington D.C. or Hampton University.
Yeah. And, oh, it's also a very good school. Too.
Yeah, and I took the audition and I passed the audition for Howard, but my document application process didn't catch. So
you're in the States, and mm-hmm. you're going through your troubles with schooling. However, did you have a chance to visit any comedy clubs?
Yes.
Okay.
At the time, I didn't understand at all.
I can imagine.
Yeah, and in Virginia, I went to a improv club, but my first inspiration to do stand-up comedy was. Happened while I was in Black College. That was when I went to the Essence Music Festival in New Orleans.
Okay.
Yeah, and I went to see a lot of music artists, but all of a sudden, Chris Rock came up on the stage.
What?
Yeah!
I would go nuts.
Yes, and he totally killed it. He totally nailed it because.
What year was this?
It's 2008 or 2009.
Okay, so, yeah, Chris Rock was still kind of. He of course he reached his peak, but
yeah,
at that
yeah.
time he's still kind of slowly doing gigs around.
Oh, maybe yeah, yeah. and he's still doing the kind
of
tour.
Tours,
yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
So.
Okay.
I was really shocked because compared to Japanese comedy, yeah. it seemed very cool.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
wearing suits mm-hmm. and just standing by himself on the mm-hmm. stage. And you know what? The Essence Music Festival is music festival. And mm-hmm. there are a lot of musicians like Chris Brown or Keisha Cole
That's
at the
amazing.
Time. Yeah.
So yeah, you're just kind of in it and enjoying all types of performances.
Yeah. Okay. But he nailed it without any music.
Yeah.
That was so cool. So
I've always thought that too, as a fan of watching stand-up comedy and the loving comedy, I've always thought the masters, just, they know, they have an internal pace. They know the rhythm.
Yes.
Go through.
Yes.
And that's something you can't really teach. I think it's something that you just gotta go with experience. And the other part of it is I think it's just natural talent.
But to be honest, now my biggest challenge in my comedy is rhythm.
The rhythm.
In English.
See, but that's where I have huge respect for you, because for one thing, like, you see foreigners that come to Japan and are, you know, they're Japanophiles, they love everything about Japan, and there will be a group of them that are interested in manzai, or interested in the traditional Japanese comedian style, and they attempt to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I respect that too, because that's, you know, I only discovered manzai when I first came to Japan, but it is a very pure art form that just, you know, we used to do it a lot in America a long time
ago.
But in Japan, it's been perfected in such a way where you can't, how do I say, it's just, I just appreciate it. Even if the jokes are not funny, I just appreciate the chemistry between the two people.
Yeah. That is amazing.
So that's something that I think about when foreigners try to do manzai in Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what you're doing is the reverse, and I think that's just even harder because you're dealing with stand-up comedy in America. You're dealing with a lot of culture, cultural references.
So many,
and you got to be keeping up to the
the trend. Yeah.
And to me, that's tough.
Yeah, maybe that is the biggest challenge for me because I'm in Japan and there are less information or less trend. Yeah, and speaking of manzai and stand-up comedy, a few months ago, do you know the TV show which is called Ametoku?
I've heard the name. So here's the thing about Japanese TV shows and talent and all that. To be honest, I don't really care so much.
I do have
a few friends who work in the entertainment business. But I don't really focus on the TV shows. Honestly, I my favorite TV shows is for the Japanese audience, it's Kenmincho.
Kenmincho.
I like to explore the local prefectures. Wondering what
that's
the food is.
That's the best reference for tourists. Yes.
And the other one, which is kind of maybe negative, or not negative, but more dramatic, is on Sunday afternoon, Zanon Fiction. It's a Sunday afternoon TV program about real...
Sorry, I'm not so familiar with TV shows.
It's called non-fiction.
Okay.
But anyways, I know faces of comedians. I don't follow them religiously.
No, it's fine, it's fine. So, but one of the episodes that was that about manzai performers praise each other. So the greatest manzai performers showed up in the same episode and they praised each other and his technique of this manzai is amazing or his techniques about this one. I didn't want it to do his style, but I couldn't do it. But he was perfect. Something like that. And that episode was really interesting, and it had a lot of learning for me. Mm. And also, at the same time, I felt that was very interesting. In stand-up comedy, when comedians talking about the stand-up sets or comedians, they usually talk about the topics or POV, perspectives.
Right.
But in Japan, they're more about techniques or how to catch the timing or
rhythm,
or how to make the chemistry between bokeh, like a stupid and the straight guy. Yeah, so maybe...
Straight guy or the serious guy.
A serious guy, yeah. Or sometimes both the stupid guys. Only stupid guys, though.
But, of course, I do believe in as a comedian, I think for any comedian, you have to have a level of intelligence that has to be much more sharper than the normal person. So, but now, do you follow any recent comedians that you like to share? Like, what is a recent comedian that you really like to watch right now? Japanese or foreigner?
First of all, Tiffany Haddish.
Okay.
in Wanda Sykes.
Okay.
She's a classic though. And Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah. Okay.
And I met her in Edinburgh. The first time.
That's right. I noticed that you went to Scotland for a festival, a fringe.
Yes.
Fringe.
This August. Yeah.
What was that?
Okay, that is the world's largest art festival, and where both of amateur and professional entertainer of theater arts, like dance, comedy, theater, poetry reading, any kind of art form gathered at the same place.
Okay.
And they run own show for about 1 month. Yeah, so some shows are free and some shows are lineup shows, like having variety of comedians or having variety of artists.
Okay.
Yeah, but I have run my own show, 1 hour show, for whole month.
That's
by
amazing.
Myself. Yeah.
Wasn't that tiring?
Yeah, it was very challenging though.
Wow, okay. Is this the reason why you're saying you speak Scottish English?
Well, yeah. It was amazing experience, and I should have done this much before.
Right.
Because you know, performers from all over the world came to the one place, and how can I say, compared to Japan, maybe comedy is not dealt as the same as other theater arts in Japan.
Yeah. It's its own group.
Yeah.
It's like its own little world. Yeah.
Yeah, and when we Japanese people say art, it's more like fine art or theater arts or traditional art. But in Edinburgh, every art is old art.
Right.
No.
Right.
And one of the most impressive thing was. At night time, they served free cab service to the all female performers.
That's awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah.
I want that.
Okay.
How do I become female and get free night cab service in Tokyo?
Yes.
That's unfair.
Yes. I didn't even have one in Tokyo too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know how you have like the in the Japanese trains, you have like the women car only trains.
Yeah, but it's not free.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was amazing, and you know, so many people came to the one place. So some people stayed a little bit far away from the center. So my case, I stayed around 30 minutes away from my venue by bus.
Wow.
At night, and my show ends around 11 p.m. So it was really hard to catch the buses. And but after knowing about the service, the life totally changed.
I've never been there.
Uh-huh.
How was the city?
Beautiful. It's just like Kyoto, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, like old town. Yes. So once I step in Edinburgh, I felt like. Wow, it's just like Game of Thrones season 89.
Season 89?
Yeah, because train runs, you know. Bus runs.
Didn't they film a lot of Game of Thrones in Scotland?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Right.
Because there are a lot of shops selling the products.
That
about,
makes sense.
Yeah, Game of Thrones and Harry Potter.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, speaking of the UK, I was actually... I had my vacation recently, and I was in London last October. Sometimes I put in some Japanese.
Yeah, that's great.
But I noticed that you were also in London near the same time too.
Yes. Oh, really?
And it was like my first time in London at that time.
Really?
And I was having a blast. It was during the opening week of the Rugby World Cup.
Uh huh.
And so I can feel like when I went to the pubs. I can feel like the regular customers are getting, you know, excited about rugby.
Uh-huh.
So I was just watching, and I just remember drinking beer at like 11 in the morning, watching Japan rugby.
Oh, really?
A bunch of like regular guys, like some Irish dudes, some Italian tourists, and like some British locals just going nuts, like cheering for Japan.
Really?
And it was such a really... But really weird, almost like a dream type moment where, because I'm like sitting and watching a rugby game in Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
And like all these people in the pub were just going, yeah, at like 11 in the morning. I don't know. I just that was just one story I had in London. I had a blast.
So you went to London after the rugby started? Rugby World Cup?
During when it, like, just it started. When it just started. Yeah. Like the first week of, when did I go? The middle of
September.
Yeah.
Okay. September, I came back from London around September 2nd.
Okay.
Yeah, so you went there a little bit after me, though.
Okay.
Yeah. London was very fun,
London's
too.
London's fun, man. But one thing I do have to say, though, like, yes, Tokyo is expensive, but London is much more expensive. Like, I felt like...
Yes!
Lunch was like... The lunch in London would be like an equivalent of like a fancy Tokyo night out dinner. Mm-hmm. With dinner and drinks, you know?
Yeah, and I stayed at a hotel
in
London, and that was quite, how can I say, not so big one, but it's cozy and it's okay. Maybe in Japan, it's gonna be like Upper Hotel or Tokyo Hotel, Tokyo Stay, something like that.
Yeah.
Business hotel.
For the listeners, Upper Hotel would be like the Holiday Inn in America.
Oh, yeah. That's
awesome.
Good. But they didn't have elevator. Lift in British English.
How many floors?
And my room was in the fourth. And then, you know, I just came back from the Edinburgh Fringe, and I had some costumes and some props. That was so tough. So the front guy carried my bag to upstairs, and I thought I was gonna pay tips. But you know, Japanese people are not used to the tip system, right? So I was wondering when I should give this. Just to say the timing, but he didn't ask me for tips, and he just left, and he was so sweaty, like, yes, I did it, yeah, I have a good night. He was, oh my god, he was so lovely, oh my god, thank you so much. And at last, I put the tip in the room before leaving, but after that, I was so surprised that I was charged for keeping the bag in the front.
They do that, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, after the checkout.
After the checkout, right. They
charge.
Yeah, I was charged like a pound or 2 pounds or something like that, yeah.
No, 5 pounds.
I'm sorry. Dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
Damn. I was so surprised that.
Huh. Yeah, that does happen. Sometimes it's just like they just put service charges like randomly. But same here in Tokyo, like you go to a cafe or restaurant, they'll charge you for just sitting down, you know. The seating fee.
I see.
The secret seating fee.
Charge,
right?
So that was charge for my luggage.
Exactly.
Wow.
So anyways, I want to move on. Can you tell the listeners what are the main clubs in Tokyo then?
Okay, so now maybe it's the most popular one is Good Heavens in Shimokitazawa, and Stand Up Tokyo is a stand-up comedy group owns every week shows over there.
Yeah.
And then I also run my comedy shows in Akasaka area.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But now I'm trying to find a new venue, so maybe after the World Cup finishes, I gotta start new shows in Akasaka or Roppongi area.
Are you still doing the shows in Hard Rock Cafe as well?
No, that was only for podcast recording.
I see. Okay.
And it's stopped though. And then, when is it published?
This one?
Uh-huh.
Probably. I'm gonna try it for next week.
Next week. So I'm running open mic.
Oh wow! Okay.
Bi-weekly.
Okay.
In Takada no Baba,
okay.
Mickey House.
Okay, Mickey House.
It's a language exchange cafe.
I've heard of this place.
Originally.
Yeah, why do I know?
Yeah, so many people use there.
It's like an international, like.
Yeah, not only for English, but.
Right, for any type of
Any type of languages, yeah.
Okay.
And then every second and fourth Saturday at noon, I have open mic at Mickey House, and also I'm running open mic at Ladaka Akasaka every Saturday from 5 p.m.
But it's also be changed to new venue. So just keep on, just keep posted from my Facebook.
Okay. And then you're also still continuing with the YouTube channel as well.
Yes, Kilara Comedy.
Okay. I wanted to mention to you. I think one of my favorite ones I saw. I skimmed through. You have a lot of videos, but. For me personally, I think the one that was so funny was the one where you impersonated Marie Kondo. How to fold a man.
Folding guys.
And I'm like, this is true. And to this, even now, like, it's just so funny how on Netflix in America, so many Americans are really into Marie Kondo.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a revolution for them to how to fold clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, in Japan, it's kind of normal for most people to organize, right? But it's just so funny how you created
thank
this
you.
Like.
Thank you so much.
I just love the idea that how you put
thank
fun with her.
Thank you so much. Well, it's quite interesting. Japanese people don't get the impersonation so much
at this
moment. Right. Because her book was very popular around 10 years ago.
I know, right? It was quite old.
And then I posted a video and some Japanese people don't know who she was. And then some people said, oh, Kilara, you have long hair now.
Right.
No, this is impersonation.
I mean, in the age of these days in social media, like, 1 week is super ancient. Like Twitter,
right.
Or like YouTube. Like.
Yes, yes. And it's quite interesting. People don't read the comment or read the... Right? I posted a picture of 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my hairdo was very different from now. And then I posted, and with comments like, this picture is very old one, but nobody read it.
Okay.
Oh my God, you got a new hair, and you look young. Of course, I look young. I look too young.
Well, seriously, Kilara, thank you so much for
your time. Thank you so much.
And yeah, for those of you, definitely go check out Kilara's events at those comedy events
you have on. Can I promote my some shows?
Go for it. Plug away.
It's going to be next weekend. Next week, right? Actually, I'll
put this out next week, like next Monday or Tuesday. So.
Okay. December 14th, I'll be on... I'll be performing on event, Christmas party at Hotel Sanno, which is originally American Navy's recreation facility. But I gotta bring some stuff about Christmas and maybe wearing Christmas costume. Well, yeah, I'm single.
Just wear a Christmas tree costume.
Oh, yes.
With your tartan hat.
Yeah. Tartan, yeah. Yeah, I've done. Yeah, my costume has done.
It's
okay.
Finished.
Yes. So if you have time and if you're looking for somebody to celebrate Christmas together, just come to the party and the information will be posted on the Facebook or Twitter, my social medias. So Kilara Comedy, KILARACOMEDY.
Perfect.
You are a pronunciation teacher, right?
I am.
Can you pronounce my name, please?
Well, I think of it as Kilara.
Okay, that's Kilara. Great. That's, yeah, perfect. His pronunciation is perfect.
I guess.
I guarantee.
Well, anyways, thank you, Kilara. Thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you very much for having me. That was fun.
Okay, perfect, man.
Mm-hmm.
A huge, huge thank you to Kilara for being a great sport and coming out and doing this interview for me. If you are interested in her performance or her stand-up, feel free to check her out. I think you won't be disappointed. And yeah, her handle through YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, it's just Kilara Comedy. KILARA comedy, all one word. So you can find her what's happening, where she's going to be at, through all those social media platforms. Definitely check out that YouTube video of her impersonating Marie Kondo. I don't know why. I just really laughed out loud. Really, really laughed out loud for that one. But yeah, she's got some good ones there. She's got some gems. for sure. So yeah, that was a blast to hang out and talk with her. You are listening to Made in Japan, Conversations with Mel Jo Catalan. You can email me at japanmademepodcast@gmail.com for any questions, comments, or, you know, if you're interested to come on and, you know, you have a story to tell, or if you know someone that has a story to tell, feel free. You can also find me on social media platforms. On Instagram, it's at Made in Japan Podcast. And I believe on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Made in Japan Podcast. So yeah, feel free to contact me there as well. However, to be honest, I am mostly using Instagram these days. So also, if you haven't done it yet, please feel free to go on to iTunes if you are an Apple user, and like and subscribe, and of course download and make a comment on my podcast, whatever that you would like to do. If you feel the need and the urge to do it, that would mean a lot for me. So thank you if you haven't done that yet, but for those of you who have, thank you. So anyways, I'll be back with another episode. Till then, take care. Peace out.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.